This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى صحابته الغر الميامين والتابعين وتابع التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ثم ما بعد. Firstly, سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. MashaAllah, that was a good one, I have to admit. That was a good salam, mashaAllah. Normally it's a bit of a dead one, but that was a good one. Jazakum Allah khair. Tayyib. Firstly, welcome, brothers and sisters, to this panel discussion entitled The Role of Muslims in the West. And with me on this panel, we have, as you can see, our own Sheikh Mustafa Abu Rayyan, and the well-known and beloved Sheikh Ustad Abu Taymiyyah, Hafidhahumullah Jamian. So, welcome, all of you, and welcome the Mashayikh, Hayyakumullah. Everyone good? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Enjoying the weather? No? Allah understand. Tayyib. Khalas, we'll head straight into it then, inshallah. No icebreaker or anything like that. Straight into it, inshallah. Tayyib, we will start with Sheikh Abu Taymiyyah. Why is it important to know the roles of the Muslims in the West?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salli wa sallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil'alameen, ba'athahu Allahu shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira, wa da'iyan lillahi bi'idnihi wa sirajan munira. First and foremost, I just want to thank Green Lane Masjid for extending their noble invitation to myself to be here today, to be part of this panel discussion that concerns every single one of us. And I just want to thank every single one of you guys as well for making such a huge sacrifice. What am I referring to? You guys could have been sitting at home watching the Euros, but you came to sit here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to benefit. So may Allah azza wa jalla bless every single one of you guys. I know how passionate and our brothers especially are when it comes to football and how addictive it can be. So to make that sacrifice in order to better your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion is honestly something that should be commended. So to get straight into it now, my brothers and my sisters, with regards to, what was the question, sorry?
Why is it important to know the role of the Muslims in the West?
Tayyib, with regards to your role, my brothers and my sisters, first and foremost, to improve your own lives. If you don't know what you're doing, my brothers and my sisters, how are you going to be able to have direction with regards to how you move forward with your own life? And then also, my brothers and my sisters, when you look at contributing to the betterment of society as a whole, right? So that you are able to build for a better tomorrow. We need to have a plan, my brothers and my sisters. A lot of people ask us all the time with regards to their day-to-day lives. Those who don't have plans, my brothers and my sisters, who don't know what they are doing, they don't get anything done. Every single one of us here, my brothers and my sisters, has a role to play in society. It's upon us to figure out, what is it exactly that I can contribute to society? When we look at the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single one of them had a role to play. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't able to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the four corners of the world except through his companions. Some, my brothers and my sisters, they had the financial capability, right? Some were extremely wealthy. Look at Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He gave whatever he had. Uthman ibn Affan. You look at Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then you look at Abdurrahman ibn Auf and others, the Battle of Tabuk, how much they spent of their wealth. Some have the financial capability while others don't. I always say to the brothers that graduate from the different universities, my brothers and my sisters, it is not for everyone to stand in front of the people. Not everybody has the ability to do that, right? Not everyone is capable to give that khutbah. Giving a khutbah is not easy. To lead the salah is not easy, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Everyone has a different role to play in society. Some can teach the people the Quran. Some can be a spokesman for the Muslim. Right? And whatever other roles there are, in order for us to be able to accomplish that which we may not have been able to do throughout the years. We need to have a plan. Right? So like I said, every single one of us here, don't think that you have been ostracized by the Muslim community. Figure out what you can contribute to the society as a whole. You as a Muslim, what can you do? Right? Be someone that is active.
Mustafa, you have something to add?
JazakAllah khair, Shaykh al-Habib Abu Taymiyah, and similarly with our Ustad Samir. I don't need to add much with what our Sheikh said, and we don't have a lot of time and there's a lot of things to cover. But I just want to reiterate, my brothers and sisters, by mere virtue of having Iman in your heart and being someone that says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and someone that carries Tawheed, you have a responsibility on your shoulder. And that responsibility is an individual obligation to Allah to be a worshipper. And then you also have an obligation towards wider society, starting from your family. And then it goes all the way to the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did Allah say about him? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I have not sent you except as a mercy to all of mankind. That burden and that responsibility falls on his ummah now. We have to be that beacon of light. We have to be that mercy. We have to be the callers to Islam. And that means whether it's giving advice to your sister, whether that is speaking to your neighbor about Islam, whether that is coming to the masjid and participating by donations, whether that is raising awareness on an important issue, whatever the case may be, like our Sheikh said, you have a role to play. And understand and appreciate the obligation that you cannot just live a life of meaninglessness when you carry that which is so important, which is Tawheed.
JazakAllah khair. Sheikh, you mentioned something about responsibility, or our responsibility as Muslims, and the Sheikh Abu Taymiyah referred to education. Now, how about Islamic education? How important is that, our religious education, and how does that relate to the responsibility that you mentioned?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wasalam ala Rasulillah. There is nothing more important and greater for you to educate yourself on than your deen. And this is a lifelong commitment and journey that every single one of us should be on. Men and women, young and old, everybody should be actively learning their deen. Everybody. And we have somehow, and this is very apparent within the Muslim community, we have somehow treated the learning of the deen as a specialty for a very few. Those that deliver the khutbas, the Abu Taymiyyahs of the world, doing the masters and the PhDs in the jami'at, they're doing the job for us. And the rest of us, we don't have to do anything. And that's not the case, my brothers. That's not the case. Each one of us has to learn your deen. And the thing is, it doesn't mean that you become a specialist in fiqh or hadith, or you learn the intricacies of all the masail related to aqidah. That's not what we're talking about. But how much do you know about how you worship Allah? Have you perfected your salah? Do you know your daily adhkar? How much of the Quran do you understand? When you were praying Taraweeh last year, how much of the Imam's recitation were you understanding? Have you built a good understanding of the statements of the Prophet ﷺ that pertain to you, your role, your job as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a person that has a business? There are so many things that you need to learn to ensure that you are fulfilling your role and your responsibility correctly. This is extremely important, and you have to increase your knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O Muhammad, say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. The dua that Allah told our Prophet to make was, Ya Allah, increase my knowledge. Why? Because that ensures you become a better servant to Allah, a better worshipper, a better person, and a more contributing person in society. With this ilm, you can accomplish so much. And this ilm will take you to Jannah. Like the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, whoever threads a path or walks a path to ilm, it will lead him to Jannah. As opposed to the dunya. When Allah was speaking to our Prophet about the dunya, he said, لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيكَ إِلَّا مَا مَتَعْنَا بِهِمْ. Do not crave with your eyes that which we have given of the dunya to the non-believers. So the balance should be that we should be asking Allah to increase our knowledge and taking the steps to do so, to become better Muslims and to fulfill our roles, and not so much the dunya. It seems like that balance at the moment is not correct. And like I said earlier, it doesn't mean you're going to become a specialist. And just because all of us are not going to be ulama, just because all of us are not going to be ulama, and it will not be, does not give us the excuse that we should be juhal, right? You should learn something of religion and continue improving, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Mustafa. If I can just add something very, very quickly. You know, my brothers and my sisters, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayruh. When I read people's messages on Instagram and other social media accounts that are suffering, Wallahi, they're suffering. And I always say this to the brothers, if I didn't take anything away from the 10 years that I studied abroad, other than this one thing, just this one thing, it would have been enough. What is this one thing? The fact that I am able to help people navigate and maneuver around the problems and the challenges that they have run themselves into. When young people are messaging me in haram relationships, or they've got themselves in a very difficult situation, Wallahi, sometimes I just stop and I say to myself, just a bit of knowledge would have prevented the situation. And as the doctors say, prevention is better than the cure. Prevention is better than the cure. Wallahi, my Instagram or fitnagram, whatever you want to call it, it is full with people's problems. And I show sometimes my little sister, look, this is what is going to end up happening if you do X, Y, and Z. Because my sister now, my little sister, is at the age where she's going to have to maneuver around these challenges that she faces as a teenager. And there's only so much I can do, right? You can either choose this path or you can do that path. Wallahi, so many of the time, my brothers and my sisters, a little bit of knowledge could have prevented them from a lot of these calamities that they're going through. Sheikh, if I can quickly just mention this incident, I've mentioned it time and time again. You know, my brothers and my sisters, I was one time messaged by a brother. You know what he said to me? That his sister committed zina with his cousin. These are two families that are neighbors to one another. I live here and the family lives next door. Now the two families are at war with one another. Wallahi, they're at war with one another. Imagine you and your neighbor are at war with one another. What kind of life you will live, right? You know what the problem was? In, out, in, out, in, out. And sometimes we let our guard down with regards to this. Wallahi, she's just like your sister. We use this term cousin sister. Hey, your cousin sister, is she your mahram? Are you allowed to be sitting upstairs and watching Netflix with her? Your cousin sister, she's not your mahram. In, out, in, out, in, out. Wallahi, one hadith could have prevented this if they acted upon it. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ الدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءَ قَالَ فَرَأَيْتُمْ الْحَمُوْ قَالَ الْحَمُوْ مَوْتْ. Beware of entering upon women. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the brother-in-law. He said the brother-in-law is death, who is the closest to, right, the wife of his brother, let alone anyone else. And now they had to send the sister away. They couldn't get them married off together because he's saying that the cousin is a junkie. He's not fit to be in a relationship. A bit of knowledge could have saved the situation. I think mentioning this example, perhaps put things into perspective, is relatable. And examples are many. Sorry, Sheikh. Wallahi, I wasn't taking anything away from your answer, but Allah yihfadhak, Sheikh.
Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fikum jami'an.
Tayyib, in terms of, how can we now put the masjids into this whole thing? What should our relationship with the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be?
Still trying to catch my breath, Sheikh. Sorry, what was the question again?
What is the role of the masjid?
By the way, brothers, excuse me, I'm very tired. I just came out of a 3-hour dawra in another masjid. We were going through all the different isms and schisms. Hayt fadha, Sheikh.
The question was, Sheikh, the masajid. What should our relationship be with the masajid in terms of
us or the organizers or the
us, our relationship? How should our relationship with the masjids be in terms of tackling these issues?
Tackling what issue?
That the youth are facing.
My brothers and my sisters, you know, a brother came up to me today. I don't know if he's here. Wallahi, right after the program, I think he is. And you know what he said to me? Some time ago, I think it was like 2 years ago, I delivered a lecture in that same masjid that I delivered the program at today. I gave five acts that if you hold onto it, inshallah, you will never go astray. And the one that the brother mentioned to me today was remaining connected with the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, praying your prayers inside of the masjid. Even if it is one, you can't get five in, get four. You can't get four in, get three. You can't get three in, get two. And if there's one that you have to choose, let it be the Fajr prayer, my brothers and my sisters. Waking up before Fajr, getting two raka'at in, going to the masjid. And if you can stay all the way till sunset, is it sunrise or sunset? No, sunset is Maghrib. Sunrise, then do so, my brothers and my sisters. See how you're going to feel iman-wise. There's a narration, my brothers and my sisters, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even though the scholars, they differed with regards to his authenticity, إِذَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِمَانِ. If you see somebody going back and forth to the masjid, bear witness that he has iman. Meaning it's one from the things that gets your iman going up. You'll feel good. And you know he said to me, and I don't want to misquote him, right? So I'm going to try and get it as correct as possible, that he kept on going to the masjid and he's so much more better in his deen. Right? He's so much more better in his deen and he's doing so much more than he was once upon a time. Stay connected to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? And see how your life changes dramatically. Even if it is one, brothers, even if it is one, that you come every day and you get that salah inside of the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Leave that khilaf. Huh? Is it wajib? Is it mustahab? I know our Shafi'i mashayikh, they may have some strong opinions with regards to his hukum, but we're not going to go into that. But at least get one in, especially in this sexualized, filthy society that we're in, where our hearts are becoming blackened just walking on Coventry Road.
I hope Coventry Road is one of the better roads, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, akhi, barakAllah feek. My brothers, I just want to share just an important hadith, right? The Prophet ﷺ told us that the one that prays Fajr in the masjid, that he's in the dhimma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's under Allah's protection. You want to be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to be protected from sin. You want to be protected from doubts. You want to be protected from problems. You want to be protected from enemies. Pray Fajr. Pray Fajr in the masjid and you will see a big change in your life. I remember one sheikh was asked that a lot of the youth are in prison. A lot of them are having problems with drugs. A lot of them are falling into zina. And he said, I guarantee you none of them goes to the masjid at Fajr. And if they were, they would be under whose protection, my brothers? Allah's protection. So this is not a joke. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be among those that are protected.
Jazakallah khair. Sheikh, you mentioned in your example earlier households, these two neighbors. Now, for those of us who are parents here, how can we try to make sure that we establish a stable household?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen and protect our households and make them sources of light and guidance. The household and the home is the heart of the Muslim community. And if you can ensure that your home is one that is filled with iman, with ibadah, with worship, with knowledge, then this will have a huge impact. And of course, this responsibility falls under those that are in charge of the household, which are the parents. Now, of course, as the children grow older, then that responsibility, there's going to be an individual obligation for everyone to ensure that they stay upon the right path. But my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. It is your responsibility to, number one, save yourself, but then also, secondly, your family from the fire. It is a responsibility. It is a burden. Allah will ask you about it. And if you truly love someone, if you truly love your children, if you truly love your siblings, if you truly love your spouse, then you will do your best to ensure that they get eternal salvation. They go to Jannah. That's what you want for them. Which is why every home should be a home where the salah is established. Every home should be a home where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped, where the concept of la ilaha illallah is internalized and understood. That the most beloved thing to the people in your home should be Allah. The most beloved one should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you love Allah, that you know Allah, that you teach your children who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they understand what it means to be a worshipper and a believer in Allah. That this takes priority over everything else. And we live in a society, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, we live in a society where you wake your children up for school but not for Fajr. That's just a fact. A lot of people do that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those that are doing that, but you're not doing anyone any favors there. You are setting them up for a life of failure when you're not teaching them their priorities. And as they grow up, worship will be difficult on them. They will have no understanding of their deen. And then they won't even be able to do birrul walidain because they have not understood the responsibility of being a worshipper. I have seen, let me give you guys an example. There are, I know it's Abu Taymiyyah's role to tell us examples and stories. But honestly, let me give you an example. There was a family and the father, mashallah, the children decided to, collectively, they're going to cut their father off. And they have nothing to do with their father because they felt that he betrayed their mother. And without getting into the details of what happened and what he did, even if your father oppresses someone, his rights in Islam are entrenched and they don't change. Of course, you rectify, you advise, but your father is your father and Allah will ask you about your relationship. Can you imagine five sisters and four brothers deciding that from now until the day they die, they will have nothing to do with their father? Absolutely nothing. They will not call him, they will not support him, they will not aid him. And I know this person, and he is alone and old, and he wishes he could rectify his relationship with his children, but because they don't understand the importance of the wild and the right, they won't do it. But here is the thing. As they were growing up, he didn't take them to madrasa. As they were growing up, he didn't teach them about the deen. In fact, he was somewhat proud that they were very established in the secular sciences. They became doctors and engineers. But what did that do? They don't even understand the right of their father. And that goes back to that household not being one that teaches and entrenches in them that you are a worshipper of Allah and that comes first. Wallahi, if we do not do this in our homes where we teach them, Allah comes first. Allah comes first. We are Muslims first. You can be the poorest person as long as you are a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you know your rights, you're upon khair. And these priorities have to be set. And it's important that you understand that if you do not establish that while your children are young, if you do not establish your home, one that you can advise each other. We have situations now where siblings cannot advise each other because they haven't built that. It's odd. It's awkward. Right? Someone's sister is committing haram, but he can't even speak to her because they haven't established in the household that we have to forbid the evil. Right? They don't wake each other up for salah. Even if one of them is praying, maybe he's not waking the rest up. All of this needs to be changed. Once we do islah of our buyut, once we are able to establish tawheed in our homes, once we love Allah more than anyone else, once we are praying in our homes, once we are reading Quran in our home, the Prophet would say, do not let your house be a what? A grave. What do we not do in graves? We don't read the Quran in our graves. Establish the Salah and the Quran, and of course make dua for your children, make dua for your siblings, make dua for each other. Once you do all of that, and now I want you to imagine this. If each home did that, how will society be? How will society be? It would not be the way it is now. May Allah rectify our homes. Maybe be able to prioritize that which is important. And this idea that the dunya comes first is something we need to get rid of. Wallahi, it doesn't matter if we become engineers or doctors or lawyers or business people. Of course, it matters and we should try and strive for our dunya. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't matter if it comes at the expense of what? Of our deen. Barakallahu feekum.
My brothers and my sisters, do you know that there are multi-millionaires that pass away. Upon passing away, the children that are left behind with all of these millions have fire and murder in their eyes. Towards who? To their own siblings. The father or the mother has been working so hard, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them for that. just so their children can have a good life after they have departed from this world. But because they did not invest in their religion, these same kids could be cursing their parents that worked so hard for them. Did you know that, my brothers and my sisters? I get approached every now and again as someone who tries to distribute people's inheritance. I get these cases at times. It's shocking. He's left them millions. No, the guy wants to take everything. Doesn't want to share it. It's enough, perhaps, maybe even to keep him going for the next 30 years. Imagine that. Next thing I want to mention, my brothers and my sisters, and perhaps the parents especially can take this away. How many of us parents sit down with our kids just to have a normal conversation? A lot of time what happens is, when he has done something wrong, right, he either sees the back of his hand or he gets pulled into a meeting. Darbahtin. That's all. The only relationship that the child may have with his parent is the back of the hand. Sit down with them. Wallahi, I know some parents, every single night, they sit with their kids, not because they've done something wrong, but what happened to their school? Right? Were they indoctrinated? Are they walking around with doubts about their religion? What's going on? Have that conversation with them. And if the parent is not doing that, I'm sure a lot of you brothers have sisters that are younger than you. When's the last time you took her out to an ice cream parlor? Wallahi, I'm being serious, brothers. When is the last time you took them out just to have a conversation? But when she does something wrong, you're at the forefront. Don't do this, don't do that. And she's thinking, this guy's haram police. He's always just telling me what I'm doing wrong. When are the times when you take them out? Spend some money on them. So when they do something wrong, they might well take what you are saying. And the last point, inshallah ta'ala, I want to mention here, my brothers and my sisters, as Sheikh Mustafa mentioned, don't turn your homes into a grave. Right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually is the statement of Abu Hurairah. You know what he said? إِنَّ الْبَيْتَ لَيَتَّسِعُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ إِنَّ الْبَيْتَ لَيَتَّسِعُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَتَحْضُرُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَتَهْجُرُهُ الشَّيَاطِينُ وَيَكْثُرُ خَيْرُهُ. The house becomes a comfort zone. Now it's bukh, right? It's a war zone in the homes. But the house becomes a comfort zone when, right? He says, in yuqra fihi al-Qur'an, when the Qur'an is recited in the book of Allah, the angels come to these kind of places and the shayateen run away from it and the goodness increases. And then he mentioned the complete opposite. Do you know why, my brothers and my sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go pray your sunnah prayers at home. Why? Right? أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته المكتوبة. The best prayer that you pray is inside of the house. Why? So the people around you can get that deeny type of vibe. The kids can come to learn it. Wallahi, kids as young as 1 year of age, one or two, they begin to pray imitating their fathers and their mothers because they do it around them. If you as a parent, you don't want your kids to be so insistently fixated and glued to their gadgets, show that example. If you're sitting watching Hollywood, Somaliwood, or Bollywood every day, they're going to be doing the exact same thing. Right? So we have to be the role models inside of the house. And some of you guys, you're getting married. Huh? You're growing. Set that standard from now before it ends up becoming a habit. Sorry, am I too loud, guys? Is it loud? I feel like I can't. You guys can hear, huh? It's normal.
Loud and clear. JazakAllah khair. Question is for Abu Taymi, I think, this time, right? No. Sheikh, as you have, well, I'm just guessing he has a lot of brothers here and sisters probably who are students. I can't be as loud as you, Sheikh.
Can you guys hear me?
Huh? No? SubhanAllah. Tayyib. Is that better? Alhamdulillah. Afwan. Sorry. Sheikh, as I'm guessing here, a lot of brothers and sisters here are university students, college students, etc. So, in terms of navigating through campus life and keeping that Muslim identity, how do we keep that balance?
think everybody heard the question, right? How do we navigate between campus life and also deen life? My brothers and my sisters, I've been to numerous universities. Some of you guys may remember, I did a 27 university tour a year and a half ago. I seen what happens and I know what people get up to. Been there, done that. I wore the t-shirt, brothers. I went to Loughborough University. I've seen exactly what happens. There are brothers and sisters who remain upon deen, and there are those who eventually end up going astray. There are many universities. Firstly, when you pick that university, I suggest you do some in-depth research with regards to how strong the Muslim community is in these universities, especially if you're going to be moving onto campus, something that I don't suggest or advise with, especially if you are a sister, right? Do your research. Look for those universities that has a Muslim community that is strong. The ISOX, my brothers and my sisters, can either make or break your stay over there in the universities. Right? Wallah, I went to some of them. They're extremely strong in there. And many of the Muslims there are practicing. I'm not going to mention any names because favoritism. But I'm sure you guys will agree. However, there are others that are really not of a good environment because the Muslims are a lot less in that society. There's not many of them. And it's so easy to become a product of your environment. Taib, let's just say now you are stuck in that environment. My brothers and my sisters, as-sahibu sahib. Your friend and companion that you hang around with, right? It goes a very long way with the kind of individual you eventually end up becoming. Either he's going to pull you towards his direction or the other way around. Right? Examine who you are around, who you befriend, who you go out with. Try to stay close to the Muslim society. Right? Where they may be, the events that they engage in, the get-togethers that they have. Right? That's maybe something that I can mention. But it's a difficult situation, right? It's haytalak. Everywhere, everything is inviting you now to go and do haram in some of these environments that one is in, right? May Allah Azza wa Jal protect every single one of us from the fitan, the challenges, and the temptations of this world.
So we now, in some way or another, we are du'at. In some way or another, we are called as to this deen. Now, how can we, young, old, men, women, boys, girls, how can we try to represent the deen in the best possible way?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, absolutely, that is correct. We are all du'at. We are all callers. That is a responsibility that we all have as the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The largest gathering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had of his companions, he gave them an order, a command, and that was to convey the message. Those that are present, let them deliver the message to those that are absent. There is a responsibility that we carry as an Ummah. We are an Ummah of Da'wah. We are callers to Islam. In fact, the reason why we enjoy the honor of being the greatest nation, we are khayru ummah ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah, that we forbid evil, we call towards good, and we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is definitely a responsibility that we all have. And da'wah has different stages, right? Whether it is that you're advising someone that is close to you, whether it's someone that you don't know, whether you are calling a fellow Muslim to the practice of Islam, or you are calling a non-Muslim to become a Muslim. All of this is a responsibility that we have to carry, and that responsibility requires knowledge first and foremost. And we go back to that earlier point that we made. We have to be able to educate ourselves on our deen so that we're able to call others towards it. Because if you are ignorant, you will not be able to represent Islam correctly or call towards that which is right. You will confuse and cause problems with ignorance. So educate yourself, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the Quran, قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. This is my path and I call towards it upon insight and knowledge. On top of that, my brothers and sisters, we also need the courage. We also need the bravery to be able to speak out, to be able to call, to be able to talk, because it's not easy. It's not easy. Often we find it awkward. But if you truly love good for others, you will not care about that awkwardness. Nowadays, one of the biggest problems that we have, and you see it often, is you're in a group and they are backbiting. You're talking about someone that's absent and you're there. The best among us will feel a little bit awkward. They might walk away, but you know what you should be able to do? Brothers, can we change this conversation? Can we not talk about that person? Can we, this courage, you need to bring it back. That we are able to advise each other, that we are able to call to his deen. And that comes from a place where you are comfortable in your own skin first and foremost. That you're not here to please Bakr and Amr and Zayd or Tom, Dick and Harry. You're here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're here to please Allah, and with that courage, you're able to speak out. Brothers, sisters, family members, people that are far away from you, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, you're able to hold a conversation. Once you equip yourself with knowledge, and once you develop the bravery, the need to carry that responsibility, you will be able, inshallah ta'ala, to do so. And when you do that, ensure you have sabr. And remember, for you, it's the journey that counts, not the result. The result is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because you spoke to one person does not mean they're going to be guided. Just because you spoke to them twice does not mean they're going to be guided. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon you is to call. Accept that responsibility. Learn the deen. Have the courage. And then have sabr. Sometimes that conversation will be awkward. Sometimes that person may insult you. Sometimes it may not be the way you want it. But wallahi, if we don't have the courage to stand up for the truth and to call towards the haqq, then what is the point even, my brothers and sisters? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the callers of Islam.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. On this point here that you just mentioned, Sheikh, if I may, we've talked about Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, Sheikh, earlier, and what you just mentioned here, the ayah. And we have other ayat as well, وَدْعِي لَا سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Now, we're all eager to, maybe, or some of us want to do Amr bil Ma'ruf, we want to give da'wah. But how can we do that in a good way, as we have the ayah with hikmah?
Like, how do we enjoin the good and forbid the evil in a manner that is wise and in line with our Islamic principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down for us? My brothers and my sisters, this is a very deep topic. I will quickly mention one qa'idah. You don't disapprove or you don't try to change an evil if it's going to lead to a big evil. Where do we get this from? This has been deduced and extrapolated from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَلَا سُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدُّ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Right? There are certain things that you are allowed to do. However, if it is going to lead to that which is worse, then you don't do it. There are many legal maxims in our Sharia, and I've gone through it on my YouTube channel. It's called 5 Leading Legal Maxims, or 5 Legal Maxims That Would Change Your Life. It gives you a good idea of how to apply some of these, right? Obligations in our religion. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? Especially right now, and I'm going to mention this, we are in a time of being gentle. We are in a time of being soft with those that we see violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion. Bear this in mind, my brothers and my sisters. You will see people doing haram if you try to use a harsh approach. A lot of the time, it is not going to work. Yes, at times there has to be a harsh approach, and at times there has to be a softer approach. But a lot of the time, the asal is, my brothers and my sisters, that you are soft and gentle. Is there anyone here, my brothers and my sisters, that is worse than Fir'aun? No, there isn't, right? Is there anyone here that is greater than Musa? La. Allah instructed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun to go to Fir'aun, who claimed, أنا ربكم الأعلى ما علمت لكم من إله غيري. I'm your Lord the Most High, and I haven't come to know of a Lord, right, other than myself. Speak to him in a gentle and soft way. Right? Speak to him in a gentle and soft way, lest you may end up chasing that person away from the deen. Right? Remember, a lot of laws and regulations are not on our side. Children can easily run away from the house if you don't use an approach that is reasonable and appropriate. Does that make sense?
JazakAllah khair. Slightly different question here. There are many, I think you alluded to this earlier, trends going about, social trends. I think this is your favorite topic, Sheikh Abu Taymiyyah. Social trends going about. If feminism, red pill, blue pill, all that nonsense. How do we, as youth, I included myself there, how do we navigate? You all heard, alhamdulillah. So these social trends, feminism, red pill, blue pill, you know, that nonsense there. How do we navigate and keep with, you know, in line with our faith with regards to these social trends?
I'll let the Sheikh inshallah ta'ala comment on it a bit more. I just want to say that what you often see is this is usually the cycle. A young man or a young woman will come across certain ideas, concepts are being talked about. Whether in feminism, shouldn't women be treated equal as men, and don't they deserve rights? And these all sound really good, and they are often partially correct. And same thing with other nowadays, other movements. And then someone will see something that is correct, or something that, and then because they don't have the knowledge to know that whatever good is in these movements, whatever that is good and correct in them, is present in our deen manifold and even better. You don't need someone that wrote a book or an idea that is 100 years old or 50 years old or 200 years old to tell you the rights of others, how to live your life, how to navigate this world. You don't need that. You have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the point of having the greatest guidance from our Creator, and then every now and then we get distracted by someone presenting certain ideas? Oh, this is quite interesting. I take such and such as my role model, or this person and that person, their ideas, wallahi, they make sense. A lot of it is found in the deen. Why do you even need it? No, honestly, why do you even need it? Why do you need to take these movements and these individuals as role models when you have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you have the prophets, and you have Maryam, and you have Aisha, and you have Khadija bint Khuwaylid? You have all of these great people. You have the Quran, you have the Sunnah. You do not need, before it used to be self-help books. People would follow self-help books and they'll say, yeah, wallahi, I wake up early in the morning, because it says so in this book that if you wake up early in the morning and you have something to be grateful for, then this will, pray Fajr, what's wrong with you? Pray Fajr. And now it's, we have to go to the gym, and we have to do this, and or you have, no, a woman is not a real woman that unless she has a career path and she's doing this. Sister, you have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You don't need anyone else. Brothers, we have the deen, we don't need anyone else. Like, have some izzah. In fact, to even feel that these movements and these ideologies and these people that you're following and you're listening to, and you know what the worst part is? And I let the Sheikh finish off with this. You're watching a podcast that's an hour and 50 minutes long, and you're like, wallahi, a few points that he made. It's in the Sunnah, Yeah, why didn't you read the Sunnah? Why didn't you just read the Sunnah? Why didn't you watch a lecture of Sheikh Abu Taymiyyah, Hafidhullah, right? Why do you have to, and it's this, yeah, Ikhwan, my brothers, my sisters, I'm gonna say what I said earlier. You are Muslims. The greatest honor. You say La ilaha illallah, the greatest statement. You follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest prophet. You are not in need of the guidance nor the advice of anyone else. They should be listening to you. Once you educate yourself about the deen, they should be listening to you. And we can create self-help books based on the Sunnah. And, pathways to success based on the Quran. That's what we need. Don't look at this stuff. You don't need it. Learn your deen, and wallah, you'll realize that whatever good that is in them is whatever they took from the deen. And there's always many falsehood in them. Sheikh, if you want to add a few words, inshallah.
You know, my brothers and my sisters, every single time when I delivered a lecture on women's rights and feminism, every single time sisters would come up at the end of the lectures and say, Wallahi, I didn't know that Islam gave all of these rights to women. Every single time. You know, today I mentioned this for those who attended the program about all of the 10 concepts that compromise one's tawheed. And we talked a lot about the isms and the schisms, right? That we can maybe put it down to these three root causes as to why people embrace some of these modern day ideologies. Number one, jahl, ignorance. How many a time has a sister come to me and said, my husband is saying X, Y, and Z. If this is Islam, I don't want anything to do with it. And she doesn't know any better. He's using the Islam card. Islam says X, Y, and Z. And she's thinking to herself, if this is Islam, you know what? Forget it. He's misappropriating and misusing, right? The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because she doesn't know how to navigate around some of these sightings that he's making, forget about it. Ignorance on both sides of the spectrum, my brothers and my sisters. And then when I explain to her, she's sitting there shocked. Sometimes I say to non-Muslims, did you know that it is the man's responsibility to take care of all of the expenses and for him to feed you, and you don't need to come with 50-50? Where did his ada come from? You go into the restaurant, it is the husband and wife there, and then at the end, he pays £10 and she pays £10. Ayyab wallah. That's embarrassing, brothers and sisters. And when I say to them, Islam says X, Y, and Z, even if you are a multi-millionaire, it is still his responsibility to pay for the rent and to pay for the expenses of the house. I'm thinking about Islam now, right? Jahl. Number two, my brothers and my sisters, we can maybe put it down to not propagating that which is correct. Not propagating that which is correct. I have some very, very powerful statements of Ibn Taymiyyah, who, by the way, passed away in 728. I'm Abu Taymiyyah, he's Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykhul Islam. So he doesn't have a horse in a race, right? He doesn't have ultra motives. Just to give you an idea, my brothers and my sisters, what will happen in society when we stop calling to that which is correct? Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, إِذَنْ قَطَعَ عَنِ النَّاسِ نُورُ النُّبُوَّةِ وَقَعُوا فِي الْفِتَنْ وَحَدَثَتِ الْبِدَعُ وَالْفُجُورُ وَوَقَعَ الشَّرُّ بَيْنَهُمْ. He says, when the people now become disconnected from the light of prophecy, they will fall into temptations, into fitan, trials and tribulations. And then bid'ah, innovations become widespread. And fujur, and evil, my brothers and my sisters, and then problems and evil ends up happening between them. That's when they became disconnected from Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? They stopped propagating the right thing. Also, Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, my brothers and my sisters, he says, إِنَّمَا اسْتَوْلَتِ التَّتَارِ عَلَى بِلَادِ الْمَشْرِقِ لِظُهُورِ الْفَلْسَفَةِ فِيهِمْ. Right? Tatar only overpowered the Muslims. And they ended up massacring them. Why? Because philosophy became extremely widespread. وَضَعْفِ الشَّرِيعَ. And the Sharia, my brothers and my sisters, became very, very weak. You will end up getting a knee-jerk reaction such as the Red Pill movement, who felt oppressed, we are here. Huh? And I say that quote in, quote out. Who felt like that their rights were taken away with this feminist movement. Knee-jerk reaction, you will always get another extreme. Who should we blame? We should take a good look at ourselves, my brothers and my sisters, because we stopped propagating that which is correct. And then people now started referring to these modern day ideologies and movements. Right? We need to call to that which is correct, my brothers and my sisters. To conclude this point, my brothers and my sisters, I want to mention the following. Accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your creator. Every single one of these modern day ideologies are flawed and it's filled with contradictions. When you accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, right, everything He commands you with and forbids you from, it's in your best interest. Whether you see it or not. Sometimes we look at the Islam as a religion with too many commandments and prohibitions. Earlier I told you guys my DMs are filled with people who are in haram relationships and now they're struggling in so many different ways. Why didn't you just listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There was hikmah in it for you, right? And then later on a scientist, my brothers and my sisters, writes up an article and then you say, oh subhanAllah, Allah told us this, right? But my brothers and my sisters, you should have just listened 15 years ago when you came across the statements of Allah. I got this, what I'm about to mention right now, my brothers and my sisters, from the news tabloids, and I'm going to read it out to you guys. Bacon and alcohol increase stomach cancer risk. Allah Azza wa Jal told us this, my brothers and my sisters, 1400 years ago, when the verses were coming down. But maybe it appears to an individual, this doesn't make sense. My brothers and my sisters, why do we fail to understand that our intellects are limited? I say this all the time. You've accepted that your eyesight is limited. You can't see what's happening on Coventry Road. You can't hear that which is happening outside. You can't taste, accept that which is limited. Right? Why do we fail? Or should I say, I was meant to say, you can't smell. Huh? All of these body parts are limited. Why do you fail to understand that your intellect is limited as well? Everything that Allah tells you, it's in your best interest, whether you see the wisdom in it or not. You know, recently, my brothers and my sisters, it was going viral. You guys heard of Petronella Wyatt? Petronella Wyatt. He said, no. Petronella Wyatt, my brothers and my sisters, is the ex-girlfriend of Boris Johnson. I'm sure we all remember him, right? Sahih? She comes out and she says, I'm single, childless, and alone. Feminism has failed me and my generation. I read out the following as well, inshallah ta'ala, and I'll finish with that. This is, by the way, an article on the Daily Mail. Right? An article on the Daily Mail. I'm just someone that quotes, my brothers and my sisters. I don't have my own views and opinions. Take it from the horse's mouth. Sheikh, I'm not going to say anything controversial, don't worry. Right? This research was done, and the title of it is called, Did the Feminists Burn Their Bras for Nothing? Majority of British women would pick being a housewife over having a career. Allahu Akbar. And then it said the following. Women aged 25 plus in a relationship and full-time jobs were polled. I'm just quoting, brothers and sisters. Don't chase me out of the masjid. 62% admitted they secretly wished for a... 62% admitted they secretly wished to be a housewife. That's not Abu Taymiyyah saying it. 74% said they felt pressure from other women to be independent. This is the British woman. 78% said they wouldn't mind being financially dependent on their partner. Hear it from the horse's mouth, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Every single ideology that you will come across, my brothers and my sisters, it is flawed. Think about it for a moment. Where do you draw the line with regards to what is right and what is wrong? You're in a relationship. She wants X, Y, and Z, and you think that this is too problematic. And then she turns around and she says, no, you're being too controlling. Or she does something and you feel like that this is over the top. Where do you draw the line that leaves us, my brothers and my sisters, with no option other than to accept that there is a greater entity. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives us rules and regulations to keep law and order with regards to ourselves. Otherwise, there will be chaos. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's regulations and laws for you, my brothers and my sisters. Sorry, Sheikh, if I went a little bit over the... Yeah? Jazakumullah khair. And by the way, brothers, I quoted, and sisters, I don't have my own views and opinions, just in case we have someone here that wants to cut out whatever I said and take it out of context. Allah yahfazukum.
Barakallahu feekum. Sheikh, we face many challenges, both from shubuhat and shahawat, desires and doubts. How can we, let's focus on the shahawat maybe first, the desires. How can we overcome these challenges with regards to shahawat and desires specifically?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's part and parcel of being a human being that you're going to have desires. These are instilled in you, and it is part of the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through, that we face these. Now, in the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, you have one job, and that job is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability, to avoid sin, and that when you do fall into sin, that when you do fall into sin, that you repent, and you repent quickly. Now, there are certain things that you can do to ensure that you sin less, and you fall into your desires less. And it is important that we learn, and it goes back to ilm again, that you learn what are the masayid and the makayid of the shaitan. What are the windows that the shaitan and the ways the shaitan uses to make us go astray and fall into sin. Ensure that you surround yourself with the right people and you are in the right environments. This will ensure that you are sinning less and you're not falling victim to your shahwat. Ensure that you are constantly engaged in ibadah and worship, because the more you worship, it increases your iman. The more your iman increases, the less you will be falling victim to your shahwat. So surround yourself with good people. Increase your worship and your ibadah. Start fasting. Start giving charity. Start praying more. Come to the masjid. These things will ensure that you are sinning less and falling victim to your shahwat. My brothers and sisters, also is important that we have sabr and patience. I think uncle is waiting for us to do the adhan. Is that correct? Okay, I'll let you do the adhan, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
We don't have a lot of time left, so I'll try and wrap it up. My brothers and sisters, we all have desires. We all have inclinations. We all have mistakes that we are prone to. How can we limit those? Surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with right people. Go to the right environments. Number two, ensure that you do a lot of ibadah. And don't let the sin drag you down. Fight it with worship. Because the more you worship Allah, it will increase your iman, and the higher your iman is, the less you'll fall into sins. And finally, my brothers and sisters, have patience as it relates to staying away from sin. It is the sabr. You need to have patience and resilience, and build that resilience to stay away from sin, and of course hasten to repentance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the prophets and how they became leaders and how they were a'immah yahduna bi amrina lamma sabaru wa kanu bi ayatina yuqinun. They became leaders and a'immah for two reasons: their patience and their certainty. This patience will ensure that you don't fall victim to your shahwat and your desires, and you overcome them and you stop yourself from sinning. And of course, if you do slip up, you repent. And the yaqeen, the certainty that you develop through knowledge, will ensure that you will not fall victim to doubts, something that Akhuna Abu Taymiyyah will inshallah ta'ala expand upon.
Last question, inshallah, before we close. With regards to shubuhat, doubts, and these affect our iman and our faith, how do we tackle?
You know, my brothers and my sisters, this was already spoken about. You cannot expect to navigate and maneuver around a lot of these doubts that are used now to pierce our hearts. The universities, my brothers and my sisters, is filled with doubts wherever you go. How are you going to be able to fortify yourself from these doubts if you don't have any knowledge? As the Sheikh just mentioned right now. Right? So you have to learn your knowledge. That's the only way around it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to repel these doubts that come your way.
Inshallah ta'ala, I think we don't have a lot of time left, so...
Any closing remarks then, inshallah?
My brothers and my sisters, I'll let the Shaykh continue and khitamuhu misk, inshallah. I just want to give you guys one advice. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. How often this tonight have you heard the importance of knowledge and the danger of ignorance? So many times this keep coming up. The solution is that you learn your deen. The solution is that you're not ignorant. The solution, one hadith that you know and one ayah that you know, one ruling that you know, can result in you falling, staying away from all of these dangers and these mistakes. So my brothers and sisters, if there's one lasting and final advice I can give you, it's take the learning of your religion seriously. Take the learning of your religion seriously. Whether it's the basic rulings of worship, whether it is your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah is, whether it's the seerah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's the adhkar, the meaning of the Quran, the tafsir, whatever it may be actively involved in learning your deen, and you will see a huge change in your life, inshallah ta'ala. A lot of what's being discussed today, it will, inshallah ta'ala, be remedied, and you will be able to fulfill your role as a Muslim in the West when you arm yourself with the ilm and basira, insight. I'll let the Shaykh conclude, inshallah ta'ala, because I think salah is close. Tafadhal, akhi.
My brothers and my sisters, I think this is convenient, the fact that there is a lot of young people here today. We spoke about a tawheed and which is the greatest obligation. The second obligation that you find in the Quran, my brothers and my sisters, that you see associated and connected to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, are the rights of the parents. Let me tell you guys this qissah very, very quickly, this story. One time a man, my brothers and my sisters, can all of you youngsters at the back please listen? All you guys at the back, I want you all to come forward. You shouldn't be leaning on the wall. Yalla. Sodakhaha. My Somali is good. Yalla. Ha. All of you guys come forward. I'm learning Somali, brothers. Say mashallah. Right? I'll tell you guys the story, my brothers and my sisters, of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, as he was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, he was approached by a man that was carrying his parent on his shoulders. Wallahi al-azim, brothers and sisters, carrying his parent on his shoulders, his mother, and then comes to Abdullah ibn Umar and he says, have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? You know Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said to him, wala talqa. You know what a talqa is? A contraction. Have you ever seen a woman in labor? Some of you guys may have not, because you're still young. The contractions that they endure and experience, it is unbearable. But he said to him, walakinnaka ahsant. Wallahu yuthibu ala al-qaleel kathira. But you've done great, and Allah will give you a lot for a little that you do. This is a little. My brothers and my sisters that are listening, you want Jannah, go and take it from your parents. Your parents advise you, and we just think to ourselves that they are backwards, out of touch with reality. One dua, my brothers and my sisters, can either make or break your life. You want a job, go ask your parents. Is your mother going to give you a job? No, the dua that she could end up making you from the bottom of her heart may open countless of doors. Right? It opens doors that the mind couldn't imagine through that one dua that they make. And remember also, one dua that they make against you because you upset them. Wallahi, it could destroy your life forever and ever. And nothing will ever go straight for you. Do we have time? The uncle said no. Right? Also, I want to mention the rights that the children have over their parents. Right? Instructing and advising them to be good to their parents is important, but also the rights that the children have over their parents with regards to you investing in them and preventing them from haram. Sometimes we are the ones that are doing the haram inside of the household, but they're just doing the haram a little bit what? Differently. We're eating haram, cheating, whatever we're cheating, right? And then my brothers and my sisters, we don't want them to do the different kind of haram. I remember one time a guy came up to me and he said, my mom's telling me not to do whatever I'm doing, CC scams, but she's cheating whatever else she's cheating. I'm just making more money than her. Why is she upset for? Imagine that, brothers and my sisters. So we have to set the standards. They have rights over us as well. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin. I just want to thank every single one of you guys. Firstly, the Green Lane Masjid.